This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pomp's not here. I apologize to an entire region for that. I am, and so is City Limits to my left, and what a wonderful man he is, no matter how many people rip us, including the PM show, right?
What was up with that? It was open season on your boy Limits.
My God, I was told by Donnie. I sort of got the gist because even the tone of voice I can hear when Pony's ripping me, which is all well and good, but I was typing in the other room, and then my ears perked up like, oh, that sounds like the ripping Starkey tone right there. So I went in to Donnie. I opened the door and said, did they just rip me? And he said, yes, the whole show, like that. And then when I went back and listened, it was mostly you. In fact, it was only you by name.
It was only me. And there was literally no ripping of you. It was just the midday guys. And then they decided to go on a tangent about me.
Right. Including Pony taking shots at the feature story that appeared in the Baldwin High School newspaper.
Yes, because he expected to be higher up in the story. There were other people that didn't even get mentioned in the story.
No, he ripped it simply for the fact that it was written. He said they tried to make you sound like Walter Cronkite.
Yeah.
How did you feel about that, Limits? Angry?
Well, you know.
Betrayed? Depressed?
We sometimes send some subtle jabs at our friend Pony, and we're all friends around here. For the goal line, you know, Brandon Ayuk is on the goal line. Which goal line is he on?
Yes.
And then Pony comes at me for this.
And I got people telling me on our airwaves saying things like, this is just not a good idea. Why? It's the one move that gets them out of, even if it's temporary, it's the one move that gets them out of quarterback purgatory.
Who is trashing the move on the station?
Well, I don't mean to denigrate here, but
denigrate
if you do,
away. We thrive on drama. We're just, all catty here.
It just sounded like the midday guys were just very anti this trade to the point where Bechtold said he wouldn't even trade a second round pick for Stafford. Are you high?
You think Austin just got caught up in the moment there?
And he got caught up on the friggin' Baldwin student newspaper making him out to be Walter Cronkite is maybe what happened.
Oh,
my goodness.
Wait, what did I miss here?
Wait, is there something?
Oh, my God, they put out a piece like Bechtold is basically God's gift to broadcasting. I was proud of him. I mean, I love Austin, but
well, at least he was proud.
Wow.
How about that?
Now, I don't mean to denigrate is right up there with no offense, but you're about to offend somebody, correct?
Pretty much, yeah.
I don't mean to denigrate, but I am about to denigrate somebody. And then he went after you, and he went after you hard. I didn't even expect to start there today. Why did I? I don't remember. I almost got pulled over coming in.
Really?
When you come into Foster Plaza, sometimes there's a Green Tree cop right there to your left, sort of hidden. Did you know that, Limits?
I do now.
You do now. And I had already, because I was running slightly late today, big surprise, I had already sort of had this weird like image in my mind of what if I got pulled over today? And then it was starting to get later and later because someone pulled in front of me and was going as fast as, I don't know, Ed Bouchette through a monologue. He was going about 1 mile an hour and he was making me late So I started to speed a little bit. I will acknowledge that. It's 25 miles an hour here at Foster Plaza. I may have been around 10 miles an hour above that. I don't remember. I don't recall. And I choose not to answer that question, but it may have been true. And he saw, then I hit the brakes a little bit. He could have pulled me over there, and you'd be doing the show right now.
Oh, my God. I saw the look on your face when you walked in, too, like you had seen a ghost.
Yeah, it was a brush with the law.
That's me when I drive through Brentwood. Oh, my gosh, Brentwood.
Is it bad
there? There are cops everywhere. I mean, you can, like, if you have to park at the stop sign for Brentwood not to, like, you don't feel uneasy about it. Like, legitimately, there was one time where, like, I didn't roll through the stop sign, but I was maybe, like, I stopped. Didn't, like, the car rocks back. The cop turns around in the middle of the road. I'm like, oh, no. I started, like, shaking.
Yeah, it's not good.
I keep driving, and eventually he veers off, and I go, oh, thank God.
Have you ever been pulled over in your life?
No, but in Brentwood.
That is unbelievable.
I was going a little bit too quick. This was years ago. I was going too quick. Like, I was going downhill, and it's like a very, like, steep hill where it's like, you know, you got to, like, be on your brakes. And I made, like, a quick left. And as I made a quick left, who is right in the middle of a road, which there's a lot of parking on that one side, so you basically have to, like, veer off for somebody to go past you. And I got a stern talking to when I was, like, 19 years old.
Incredible that you've never been pulled over. You're a very kind and law-abiding man.
Knocking on all the wood in the room.
Yeah. And I will admit that Pony's soliloquy yesterday, not the part we heard there, but another part, has made me think about my Matthew Stafford stance. But that brings us all the way to the combine, God bless me, and Mr. Omar Khan. The Steelers GM has spoken, the one man we really haven't heard from since the end of the season. And there's a lot here. We're going to play some of these clips, but there's really only one thing here. And that's the quarterback situation. Oh, limitless wonder. Do you have what Omar said about that, or would you like me to read it? This is happening real time. So City Limits is trying to turn the quotes as fast as he can, and I'm trying to be very understanding of him.
Here is Omar in his opening statement about quarterbacks.
Quarterback situation, I'll tell you guys as much as I can. The reality is last year we went into this understanding that we had three quarterbacks in the last year of their deal. Here we are until we get one of those guys or two of those guys or some combination of them signed up. You know, all options are on the table. Had conversations with both Russ's people and Justin's representatives. And, with that, you know, we'll see where it goes.
This remains maybe the most incredible quarterback situation I've ever seen. He sort of echoed with what Art said right after the season, which was, yeah, it'd be nice to have both. I guess ideally we'd like to have both. You know, whichever one sort of shows up at the office, I guess we'll pick that one. We'd be happy with either. Have you ever seen this? I mean, it's one thing if you have Montana and Young. Yeah, I'll take either. Both would be great. You know, we could go to a Super Bowl with either one. But these two guys, like, yeah, okay, sure. Either one, although we are looking for other quarterbacks, all options are open. It was like when Art said, yeah, either one, I guess one of them will start for, and I'm paraphrasing, of course, how I heard this, but we're also looking in the draft, the quarterback room's wide open, et cetera, et cetera. What is happening here, Limits?
They think they're in the Tom Brady, Jimmy Garoppolo phase in New England, or they're Jordan Love and Aaron Rodgers 5 years ago. We could be okay with either.
Yeah, well, just whatever one happens to come here, we're okay with, even though we didn't really get where we wanted to go or even come close last year and wouldn't have with Justin Fields. We didn't with Russell Wilson. But whichever one shows up, great. We'll take that guy, unless, of course, it doesn't work out, and then all options are open. This is just bizarre. It's truly bizarre. And he's probably saying what he needs to say at this point. I get it, but I don't believe anything anybody says at this time of year. Wasn't it Omar last year? And I do quote directly this time, at the combine, saying of Kenny Pickett, quote, I have full faith in Kenny. Yeah, that's a direct quote from last year. I have full faith in Kenny. Within about 10 seconds of the combine, the entire quarterback room was blown to pieces, if you remember. limits. So I believe nothing that happens here, but I will say this. Everything's about to get real because the game of musical chairs begins with quarterbacks very soon here. The new league year begins March 12th. Legal tampering begins on the 10th, which means illegal tampering is already in full swing. You better believe that. What are the Steelers going to do? The all options are open is the part that stands out to me, and then being linked to Matthew Stafford. And that brings me back to this. And this is the way I would organize this question today. And off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. Got all kinds of treats happening on the show today. If only I knew what they were later in the show. Huh, Limits? I will eventually. I think John Parrotto from Spring Training is going to join us.
John Parrotto and more guests coming up as well at 1 o'clock.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Let's make this a participatory thing today, if you would be so kind, at 412-928-9370. You can also text. And our text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. So let's say these are the three candidates right now. Justin Fields, Russell Wilson, and Matthew Stafford. Okay? There's a lot of factors to consider. Money. The choices those guys get to make. They're all pretty much free as of now. But I'm going to start with this one. Which quarterback would you take? No strings attached, just purely which quarterback? There's an easy answer to that question. It's Matthew Stafford. It's an easy answer. Without draft picks, money attached, nothing. Of course you would. Matthew Stafford just stared down one of the best defenses in the league last season, Brian Flores' Minnesota defense, and the same defense that ruined Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. And in those two playoff games, this dude threw for 533 yards, four touchdowns, and no picks. He was a pass or two away from beating the Eagles in the snow and going to the Super Bowl. And I don't know that the Rams would have beaten the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Would have been very different. But look what he did to that defense that we all saw on Super Bowl Sunday. Yeah, he didn't throw for 800 yards, but it was in the snow in Philly. And he had them in position to win. That's an easy answer. Matthew Stafford is better than Justin Fields, obviously, and better than Russell Wilson. I think just as obviously. Okay, now we get to stage two, which is what's the market out there for all three of those guys? Again, I think Stafford would have multiple suitors. We already know he has at least four, right? We already know that about Stafford. I think Albert Breer also said there are others. I believe that was his quote. So to narrow it to four is actually the wrong thing to do. His exact quote was, "The teams you'd suspect having their hat in the ring have indeed thrown their hats in the ring," Breer wrote. "The Giants, Browns, Steelers, Raiders, and others." So it would be a mistake to just compare and say, oh, if you had the Giants, Browns, Raiders, and Steelers to choose from, I bet you he'd choose the Steelers. I got to know the other teams first. Then you have Fields, so he's going to have choices, I would think. I'm not so sure that Russell and Justin will have a lot of choices. In fact, I don't know that Russell has even one. I don't think there's a team out there that is saying or will say to Russell Wilson, you come to camp, you're in pole position. Do you, Limits, think that Russell Wilson has another team that's willing to give him that? I'm not even sure the Steelers are, but I don't think there's a team out there that is saying to Russell Wilson's agent, while he's not planting stories in other places, that, hey, Russ, you come here, we'll give you, what, $25 million, $30 million, and, you know, a lead on the starting spot, you'll be the guy to beat. I don't think that exists.
No, maybe in one of the 32 destinations. Maybe.
Where?
The Giants, maybe. But it seems like there's better options for the Giants that they want to pursue. And that would probably be a better fit for Fields, a better fit for Stafford. And pick a name out of a hat, and it's probably a better fit than
I think Brian
Daboll
would rather come back with Daniel Jones than have to deal with this Russ situation.
Because he's going to get fired, and he knows that, if they don't turn it around this year in New York.
I don't think Russ did any favors. Now, I don't know for sure that his people were involved in the Jerry Dulac story, but I do know for sure that the entire league thinks that. I mean, everybody thinks that. That they were part of leaking that story, and some of those quotes from earlier in the year from our friend Artie Smith regarding Justin Fields and saying this guy's not a diva, this guy, he even said he isn't leaking stories to the press. What was that, a premonition for what he feared from Russ later on?
Talk about picking sides.
I mean, that was just weird to look back on that. And those were from way back in the season. So I don't think Russ has a choice. I don't. I think he's desperate to come back here.
Especially at $30 million. Why would anybody pay Russell Wilson $30
Whatever the
million number
is. I certainly wouldn't. I think Russ would come back here for significantly less. I don't think it's about the money right now for Russ.
What's significantly less, 15?
I think Russell Wilson would come back here and play for free. I think he wants to win, and he wants somebody who wants him.
I don't know about that. I don't think he's not going to come back on like a $5 million deal.
Oh, really? Where's he going to go? We just, both of us just said there's no market for him.
Don't you think that there's more pride, though, for Russell Wilson?
Then he might retire. I'm not saying $5 million necessarily. I was exaggerating. But I would lowball him beyond belief if I was bringing him back. If his choices are, I go somewhere where I can start, or what, then he goes somewhere where he can start and they name the price, I would think.
I have just no interest in bringing him back.
Neither do I
at
this point.
At any rate.
Neither do I, but that's not my point. It's what options does he have? And then there's Justin Fields. And I think we're getting a little bit of a misleading read on the allegedly robust market for Justin Fields. Okay? There was nobody in the league last year at this time who was willing to say to Justin Fields, you come here, you're in pole position. Did what he accomplished with the Steelers change people's minds? Did it really, if you comb through the tape? Not for me, it wouldn't. There's this idea that he was way better than he was for the Bears. I guess maybe in some of the raw, like conventional counting stats, slightly better. I saw some of the same things I had heard and seen in Chicago myself. It went well for a little while. It did, in a very controlled style of football. I mean, they didn't score a touchdown in one of the games they won. They won on all field goals, right? And then it slowly devolved, which in his last two games, he completed 3, 4. He was in the mid-50s, I think, in his completion percentage. He had a couple turnovers that he barely avoided because the other team either dropped the ball or he got bailed out by a penalty in Vegas. He just wasn't very good by the end. I agree with Jay Gruden. He's not a very good passer of the football. He's a very low-end starter, high-end backup. So I ask, what's the market for Justin Fields? We're hearing the Jets. I mean, people are out here making him sound like he's a coveted player. I don't believe that.
Well, out of everybody else that's available on the free agent market, why would he not be number one option?
Like, seriously. Over Sam Darnold?
Well, he would be the number two guy behind Darnold.
I know, but that's like saying, you know, Malik Willis was the number two guy in the 2022 draft.
I still think like someone like a Kellen Moore in New Orleans.
Or that Kenny Pickett was the number one guy in the 2022 draft. It's all relative to who else is available. So it sounds good to say, yeah, Justin Fields might be the second best free agent available. Well, who's third? Carson Wentz? It's all relative.
The Blake Bortles, Jake Locker draft.
Yeah, I mean, it's
Blaine Gabbert.
Okay, so the Jets. Some people are saying there's more. What was this headline I saw the other day? More than a 50-50 chance he's out of Pittsburgh?
I think that was Kabali that said that.
Was that Kabali on our air?
Yeah.
I think it was. Yes, it was. He said more than a 50-50 chance to go to the Jets. Okay. I would still say the Fields market is more limited than people think. I would. I'm sorry. Last year at this time, nobody wanted him as a starter. And so everything's changed. Now there's like, what, a handful of teams, you know, gonna bargain for Justin Fields, gonna compete for him. I'm not seeing it. I could be wrong. He'd be okay. He'd be my fallback option, I guess. I honestly believe in the end it's best for them to take a step back. But I don't think they will. I would trade TJ Watt rather than throw $100 million at him. I would trade Minka. I would trade Pickens. And I would go with a quarterback who's, you know, maybe it's Justin Fields. Maybe it's Daniel Jones. Maybe it's Skylar Thompson. And I also think that the Steelers misread how the fan base would feel about a situation like that, like a one-year rebuild, one-year mini rebuild.
Yeah, they think it would be like Cleveland throwing parades for an 0-16 season. Like,
well, no,
that people would be just so frustrated and so upset with a non-losing season because of
right.
the consistent success that they've had.
Yeah.
That people are just going to be so over it and the world's going to be on fire.
Yeah, they think, well, it was the Jim Rooney quote, right? Now, yeah. I think he said that two or three really bad years would have people, you know, burning down the city or something. Maybe at that point he's right, but not one. I think fans are savvy enough to know that, man, what is really the difference between barely plugging along at over 500 and getting destroyed in playoff games, one-and-done playoff games, and tanking for a year is what I would call it. And then living to fight another day.
It's entirely what I want.
But that's not going to happen. So let's talk in reality here. TJ Watt's going to sign a new deal. From what we hear and see, man, it sure sounds like Pickens will be back and Minka's not going anywhere. They're going to draft and acquire talent on the free agent market in an effort to win. So that brings me back to Stafford. By far the best guy out there. And what Pony essentially said was, this is a 10-win team. You add a guy who's better than what they have, the win total goes up. That does sort of make sense, except I'm not sure that, especially defensively, that they're not sort of rotting defensively, that they're regressing. Is the better word, defensively. So will there still be the makings of a 10-win roster around the quarterback? I'm not sure about that. Can we expect another incredible season from Cam? I don't know. TJ, with the way he plays and what his body's been through, it seems like he's either been hurt or not there at the end of multiple seasons. Minka's already, I think he has the body of a 35-year-old. So that reasoning, to me, is flawed because it's not the same guys coming back in the same state they were in last season. You have to ask questions like, what's it going to be like for Cam going through another 17 games? He wasn't the same guy at the end of this season. He was great, but clearly worn down, maybe injured by the end of the year. So I don't know that it's as simple as, hey, we won 10, this guy's a better quarterback, we're going to win what, 13, 12? I don't see it that way. I don't. Now, if it's 1 year, $50 million, and a first-round pick, I also don't want to give up the first-round pick because I don't think Matthew Stafford is going to thrive here. On the other hand, at its very simplest, he is the best guy out there. So if you think the Steelers have a legit chance to win, then bring him in. The other thing that Pony was saying, but I don't think they have a legit chance to win. That's the thing.
I don't either.
That's the thing. I don't think they have a legit chance to win. I really don't.
Well, this would be different if it was free agency. Like if Matthew Stafford was available and you wanted to sign him to a contract, fine. so be it. But I don't like also having to give up draft capital as a part of it. And also at 37, with this roster and the holes that are on it, especially offensively, is it truly worth it?
Well, that's the bottom line here, is that I don't think Matt, unless is Sean McVay included in the deal, to your knowledge, would he be included in a trade? Then Matthew Stafford is not going to thrive here. That's truly the bottom line. I do hear when Pony says the answer to that is, well, then just don't bring in anybody ever under this current regime because nobody's going to thrive here. That's a good point. You know, it gets me to thinking. That's true. Like, I don't think Patrick Mahomes would have thrived here. I honestly don't. I think they would have ruined him. So Matthew Stafford comes here with Broderick Jones as his left tackle. Wait till he gets a load of George Pickens at wide receiver. In this scheme, are they going to allow him to call audibles the way he wants at the line of scrimmage? It's incredible we have to ask that question, but we do. Late stage Ben didn't have the freedoms the way he wanted to. And Russell Wilson, when he was playing well, was apparently stripped of those freedoms, reportedly. But I have to admit, Limits, it does make me think. I think Pony makes a good point when he says, well, if you say all that, then they might as well just never draft a quarterback or never bring one in because that guy's not going to thrive in this system. That's a fair point.
It is, but wouldn't you rather just bank on young quarterback?
I'd rather not give up a first-round pick in the process of finding out another guy underachieves here.
Look, and Pony in that clip also ripped me for saying a second-round pick. Like, I would give up a third in that situation. I think there's a big difference between a third-round pick and a second-round pick. And sure, you could throw back at me the relative lack of success that they've had at drafting second-round draft picks over the last 5 to 10 years, but
I think I would probably, as a concession to Pony's argument, go back on the second rounder, probably. But there's just that reality, that cloud hanging over everything, that this is a 37-year-old statue. He can still play. He can still sling it. I'm not sure that Rodgers can't still sling it either, by the way. I don't know that I saw a whole lot of arm drop-off necessarily last year. He just can't get out of his own way, and his team was horrible. Both those guys, I still think, have the arm for it. How's that going to play out here? Well, I mean, it's hard to envision for me. A lot of this is Sean McVay. I mean, Matthew Stafford had some great numbers in Detroit, but he was a successful quarterback in that system, right?
You don't think one fifth place vote for Arthur Smith for offensive coordinator, for coordinator of the year, is going to be able to move the needle a little bit for Matthew Stafford? Do you think this will change
them? I don't think so.
Throwing over the middle of the field?
And that brings up another tentacle here, is who among these guys, other than Russell, because he can't find a date, so to speak, he can't find a dance partner. He's sitting over in the corner like me in seventh grade at Amherst Junior High School.
Yeah, he's left on prom night.
Saying, I would dance with anybody right now. Please, somebody just look at me and I'll ask you to dance. Or I'm going home.
He's got his backwards hat and his best dress shirt on going out to the bars tonight.
Yeah.
Trying to find someone.
No, yeah, he's me. He's me in that corner with all the other guys. Most of us anyway. Dan Collins got to dance with Don Tutte, which was big for him.
Don Tutte.
Yeah, and we were very jealous of that. Mm. So I'm Russell Wilson sitting in the corner of the seventh grade dance with braces and greasy hair and purple tough skins. Nobody wants to dance with me. But
purple what?
Tough skins. They were jeans at the time.
Oh, interesting.
But if somebody does, man, I'm in.
Yeah.
That's him.
So he's like seventh grade Joe.
The other two guys Stafford's definitely not in that position of desperation. Fields, if he has one other suitor, isn't in that position either. I mean, does he want to come back here? If he has one other team let's say it's the Jets. Let's say Garrett Wilson and company want Justin Fields. Guarantee him a spot. and more money than the Steelers are paying. Why would he come back here?
I have five potential landing spots for Justin Fields.
Why don't we talk about that next? 412-928-9370. 928-9370. If there is any interest in Justin Fields, I mean, this, he got benched here. He wasn't trusted really here to play his game, except the famous frozen cadaver throw in Cleveland. I don't know what kind of money they're offering him. Maybe most importantly, they're still flirting with Russell Wilson and have their GM at the combine telling the world, essentially, yeah, we'll take either one. You know, equalizing Russ and Justin. If you're Justin, you have to believe, hey, I put in my time last year. I was a good soldier. I think I played pretty well. I was 4-2. He failed at the end. I should be your guy. And it doesn't appear that way. It doesn't appear that the Steelers are chasing him with the kind of zeal you would chase your guy. So where does this leave us? 412-928-9370. It's time to take sides today in this thing. It's time to look at this realistically. What do you want the Steelers to do at quarterback? It's happening.
Quarterback situation, I'll tell you guys as much as I can. You know, the reality is last year we went into this understanding that we had three quarterbacks in the last year of their deal. And, you know, here we are until we get one of those guys or two of those guys or some combination of them signed up. You know, all options are on the table. Had conversations with both Russ's people and Justin's representatives. And, you know, with that, you know, we'll see where it goes.
Man, if that doesn't inspire hope, I don't know what would. This is what we all feared. This is what Ron Cook wrote about all those years ago, probably 100 times when he was talking to Ben at his locker or following him down the hallway. Be careful what you wish for people who wanted Ben out. I didn't necessarily agree with Ron at the time. Silly me, I think there's many ways to find quarterbacks if you get creative enough and you're good at picking them. Well, they took Kenny Pickett with, what was it, 20th pick that year, was he? Bad pick. I like the fact they went with Russell Wilson last year, but that turned out not to be great if your aim is to win a playoff game the Super Bowl or even a playoff game. Justin Fields, Mason Rudolph, they wasted a third-round pick there. He got his chance. Some might disagree with that, but he did. Mitch Trubisky, yeah, I was on the Mitch Trubisky train. They were wrong on him, too. So I think they're, what, 0-5 since Ben left? And maybe about to be 0-6, 0-7. Who knows who else will come in? You know the old saying, limits. When you have seven quarterbacks, you probably have none, right? There we go.
Woo-hoo!
It's the Trubisky train.
There was no doubt about it.
There's a very depressing reality that's hanging over the whole thing. What quarterback can survive in this system? Not him. It's the Rudolph train.
There was no doubt about it.
Who can? Who could? It feels like an almost antiquated offensive system. It does. Who has thrived under Artie Smith? Ryan Tannehill? You know, all these guys out here want to make pro football into, like, you know, astrophysics or something. Anybody who watched that Tennessee Titans offense, it was the most basic thing I've ever seen. The reason it worked was because Derrick Henry was Michael Jordan. Go back. Just do yourself a favor. Go home and Google a Titans game from 6 years ago. And you'll see Derrick Henry left, Derrick Henry right. Play action to Derrick Henry where the whole team goes for him. And there's guys wide open for Ryan Tannehill. Okay? Derrick Henry ain't walking through that door. More importantly, the head coach here is having a little trouble locating the right offensive coordinators and maybe letting them do their jobs too. I don't know, maybe some combination of both. Then you look at the personnel on hand. Omar Khan spoke today. He also drafted Broderick Jones and Joey Porter in what was seen as a great coup for the franchise. Used that pick from the Bears for Chase Claypool on Joey Porter Jr. Got Broderick Jones before him. Both those guys took a step back this year, maybe a big step back, in my opinion. I mean, that's something we didn't talk about either, was Omar Khan has spoken. What kind of job has Omar done? C-plus so far with the Steelers?
If this was a year ago, I would have told you about a B-plus, but now I'm teetering on B-minus.
He seems to have trouble patching obvious holes. I went on here way before the season started and was criticized on here, I might add, by people in the building, in the room, that the Steelers' biggest weakness going into last season, in my opinion, was depth on the defensive line. Now, luckily for them, really luckily, Cam came up with this ridiculous, unbelievable season at his age coming off a major injury. Can you imagine what it would have been like if he didn't? Now, the Ravens would have rushed for 500 yards instead of 300 in the playoff game.
And Larry Ogunjobi was basically invisible for half the season. And where was that step up from Keanu Benton?
Omar signed Larry Ogunjobi and did not patch that hole, the obvious weakness of depth there. He had an obvious weakness at corner. I guess he did okay with the Deontay Johnson trade. Okay. You know, Jackson had him. A number of interceptions, but I don't think he was great by the end of the year. Cam Sutton was a disaster. In other words, depth in the secondary was also a big fear, at corner specifically, and he failed to fix that. Depth at receiver. And when I say depth, I'm not talking in case eight guys get injured. I'm talking everybody after George Pickens, and he mangled that as well.
And this is what Omar had to say to Kabali, the Trib, and others at the Combine about receiver.
You mentioned pursuing a wide receiver, you know, after you settled the quarterback situation. How much of a priority is it to add to that room?
You know, it's obviously a priority. I mean, I'm not going to run from that. That's just a reality. We have some guys that are free agents, and we weren't good enough at that position. We'll look at everything.
Yeah, they weren't good enough in the end at quarterback. At right tackle with Broderick Jones, weren't good enough. Defensive line, weren't good enough. Secondary, weren't good enough. That's a lot of places to not be good enough. I don't know, maybe you feel differently out there, but I'm not sure that Omar has built up the track record and trust so far that he's the guy that needs to fix what needs to be fixing. The jury's still out for me, too, by the way, on Patrick Queen. I'm not sure that Patrick Queen lived up to his free agent deal. There were times he looked very good. The home game against the Ravens was probably his best game. And then there were times, man, what Rob Long warned us about, the guy from Baltimore, the radio guy, he just kind of disappeared at times. He doesn't look, by any means, like your classic run-stopping inside linebacker. I mean, like everybody else, he basically just got swallowed up by the Ravens in that playoff game. So I would say the jury's out on that big free agent signing as well. I think both drafts look pretty good, especially depth-wise. But again, the top of the draft 2 years ago is highly in question right now. And we've never seen Troy Fatanu play. So that has to be a question as well. Because there were plenty of other guys both years that would have been mighty interesting where the Steelers chose. But we're talking quarterback. And what is Omar? I don't even think it's his decision. What is Art? What is Mike Tomlin? What do they want to do? That's the question on the table here. And as I was saying before I got sidetracked on that rant, It's really depressing right now because it's hard to picture anybody thriving with the personnel the scheme and the coaching on hand, I do not see like a high-powered, mature NFL passing game here. And all Matthew Stafford or anybody else has to do to realize the same is turn on the tape. Now, maybe he simply thinks I'm better than those guys. I'll get it moving in Pittsburgh. And then I would ask him, really, who are you going to throw to? Have you heard about the receiver who quits on routes? Have you heard about the offensive line, particularly the flanks of the offensive line, giving up the most sacks last year? Now you got a first-round pick coming in, so that'll be a rookie on your right and an underachiever on your left. I don't know. It doesn't sound that enticing to me. Let's hit the phones.
Let's go to Tim in the North Hills.
Hey, Tim.
Hey, Joe. Yeah, you kind of took my thunder there a little bit. My friends and I discuss this all the time, and I'm adamant that, and let me preface this with, any quarterback you bring in, as long as the Steelers are running the schemes they're running and wanting to do the things that they want to do, I don't think anyone will be winning a Super Bowl anytime soon. But I think that if you surround, and this isn't saying that I think Justin Fields will be a great quarterback or anything, but I think that if you get an explosive running back, where when you hand the ball off, it's not 2 yards, and then, you know, and then it's second and eight or third and nine, I think that could really help. I think his legs will help them move the ball the way they want to move the ball a little bit better. And then I think if you can surround him with a good slot receiver and another good outside guy, I think they could win a playoff game. I don't think they're making the Super Bowl, but I think right now it's just about you have to surround the team with
play with what you got. Play to your strengths, and I hear you on Fields. I think maybe the best option in the end might be to triple down on his running ability. Yes, bring in a running back that you can pair with Jaylen Warren, an explosive type of back. Hope that this offensive line lives up to its pedigree and just try to smash teams the way that Greg Roman did with Lamar early in Lamar's career. Just try to smash them. I wouldn't mind, by the way, if Genty is available for the Steelers, would you take him?
No.
Limits? No?
No, I would not take him.
What if you knew Justin Fields was your guy coming back? And that you're going to have a run-heavy offense. Wouldn't you want a star running back?
Yes. I mean, it is also a really deep running back class, too. So I feel like you could also get, and I mean, Genty might just be the home run hitter. When I watch him,
I don't think he's going to be there, but he might.
No.
You never know.
I would much rather pick somebody in the third round as a more like a value pick, somebody that slips through the cracks, because you can find running backs at all portions of the draft that can plug and play. Like, you're not going to find Derrick Henry, potentially. You're not going to find Saquon Barkley. I don't think Genty is that type of guy. So that's why I would not pick him there.
I mean, if he's not going to be a star, then of course I wouldn't pick him. But, man, he looks to have that home run hitting ability, doesn't he?
Yeah. I mean, he was playing behind a line at Boise State, too. So, I mean, you could just tell when there's a running back that good behind, like, a so-so average line.
Yeah.
They're thriving. There's a good chance that they're going to be really good in the NFL, but
I don't know. I'd be, if that was my tack on the offense, that we're going to go all in on Justin Fields as a runner, which I think might be your best option in the end, then I'd be very tempted to pair that with star running back and run a little Ravens light there where your quarterback, I'd want Justin Fields to be up around 1,000 yards rushing with a star runner. I think that might be your best bet. Is just if you're interested in trying to win a playoff game, like if that's your ceiling right now, and you're not interested in scaling back and reloading for the draft in Pittsburgh in 26, it's just, and I don't think they are. I think that Fields might be their best bet, honestly.
I think they could do that with Cam Scadaboo and a couple others in the third round.
That's fine, but you get the theory.
Yeah, I do. And I also feel like at the same time, though, you could pick a wide receiver in the first round, because look at all the years that Baltimore neglected doing that or picked like awful players. Like, who'd they pick? Like, there were times that they brought like Nelson Agholor in. Some of the other, they brought Sammy Watkins in because they could not figure out first round wide receiver.
Yeah.
And that was a big part
Deontay
of why.
Johnson.
It's a big part of why they could not win playoff games for a
did
big reason with
Deontay?
Lamar.
Did you mention Deontay?
I did not.
Yeah. He was the best one of all.
Who were some of the other guys that they drafted? Rashad Bateman, obviously, is.
I mean, Deontay's a guy they brought in, obviously didn't draft. But
DuVernay is the one DuVernay. I was thinking of.
Yeah,
that
he was one.
It's just kind of been very average, so.
Not back to the phones limits.
Here is Dave in Pittsburgh.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking the call. You guys threw it up on the table with Mike Tomlin and Art Rooney II's idea of what they need to do. It's Art Rooney's ball to take, get rid of the draconian, archaic coach that's narcissist that refuses to change his ways from his micromanagement attitude towards the offense and defense and get caught up with the times. Again, Mike Tomlin,
I know we're all talking in those terms a little bit today, but that's not happening. I used to argue with Ron all the time that Mike Tomlin had a contract for life, that he was going to make the call on whether he would leave or not. And he would argue against me. And I would say, Ron, so far I have all the proof. Like, he pretty much already is a lifetime coach. How many coaches have coached longer with one team than him? It's a lifetime contract. Mike Tomlin's not going anywhere ever until he chooses to. So I guess what I'm saying to you and to me is we might as well just stick grounded to reality here. That's the reality.
Then go with Fields and get Cam Scataboo and go with a heavy run offense is the best thing you can do for this team. Thanks.
That sounds just like you limits. Thank you, sir.
That is what I advocated for Scataboo, or a back in that facility. Like, I don't feel
that
like
guy copied you.
I don't feel like there is that much of a gap, and I might be completely wrong, between Genty and some of the other backs that you can find later on in the draft.
That's fine, but we agree on the principle of the matter.
Yes, we do. But I also don't want to be derelict of duty and not have any wide receivers either.
I would never want you to be derelict of duty,